Seed, what a great morning. Jaffra, thank you very much. Wow, that was fantastic. Thank you. Glad to have... It's so exciting to me as we see new players that are coming through, and Kevin was up here this morning. Appreciate that. And all the different guys, Mike on the bass. And as we get ready to give birth to another church in Tracy within that, as we replicate our musicians and replicate our leaders, I'm telling you what, it's exciting for our leadership, our level, to see that replication taking place. And God just moving people up and taking ownership and control. And we appreciate that immensely. As I said, you're not here by mistake this morning. You're here by design. Whether it be your first time or whether you're here week in and week out, may it never become just ritual. May we always come with expectancy. May we always come waiting to see, God, what do you have for us this morning? And so I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad for the body of Christ that we can be here. We've been looking at Joshua. We've been looking at the book of Joshua, especially as Moses is dead. The leader of Israel is dead, and a new leader has taken over, and that's Joshua. And you can imagine some of the things that Joshua, he probably looked and said, man, I got big shoes to fill. How am I supposed to do this? And he looked around, and he thought, oh, and God started working. And Joshua, he started telling him, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And we've seen so many things of how God just delivered them. And Joshua would say, okay, I'm going to do it. We don't see a whole lot of arguing from Joshua to God. He just kind of says, okay, let's go. But have you ever had in your life in some situations where it just makes no sense? Have you looked at situations and you said, this makes no sense? I started looking back in my own life, thinking of things that God has moved me through and in and about. And I'm thinking, this makes no sense. And sometimes the problem I have with that is sometimes when it says, this makes no sense, I then go on to the next level and say, so God, you must not be able to handle this. I better take care of it. Because when things don't make sense, what we try to do is we want to control, right? We want to take that control and say, okay, it makes no sense how this is going to happen. And pretty soon we come back to the point. And today in the message and in the passage we're looking at today, which we're not going to read the whole passage because it's lengthy, but I want you to go back and read Joshua chapter, end of chapter 5, in through chapter 6. But the reality is that there's some things that you look at. I can imagine the people of Israel looked at Joshua at times. I imagine Joshua looked at situations and said, this makes no sense. We looked at last week the fact that God told the priests to step into the water carrying the ark, and that the water would be held and they would walk across the Jordan. And yet we also looked at that was 20 miles upstream almost where that took place. I don't know. I don't know how that, if it just was immediate or if you had to wait for that water to flow 20 miles down and dry. I don't know. But can you imagine? I wonder if those priests said, man, this water's, it's cold, or this water's getting deeper. What are we doing here? And I imagine Joshua said, God, you said. And sometimes God's moving. When it doesn't make sense, we need to realize that God may be working 20 miles upstream. That God may be working in things in your life that you don't see yet. That pattern of the miracle of the pattern. That is how God works at times. And those are great issues where we see, man, I thought it was going to happen this way. And God, it should have happened this way. It should have happened this way, but it didn't. I mean, even just in small things, now you don't want to go into details, but, you know, just in the birth of a church with new sound and new things that we were looking for, and out of the blue, people donate some things, and out of the blue, some of the people in our church are able to take that and make it, and then next thing you know, the being able to reproduce from that financial gain to pay for our sound system for the new church. Unbelievable the way that God just kind of works that all together. Things we never saw coming. I never saw anybody donating this to get this. I never saw that happening at all. But God did. He was working 20 miles away, and I had no clue about it. And then God provides. Sometimes in our life, it just makes no sense. There have been a few times in my life, unfortunately, probably not as many as there should be, when I've said, God, it makes no sense, but I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to step out and go. I'm going to trust you. I know that it makes no sense. And everybody around me may say, this makes no sense, but God, I really feel a peace about what I need to be doing, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out and we'll follow you. It makes absolutely no sense. In a human way, starting Blossom Valley Community Church, which we started as, made no human sense for me at all. At all. And yet, I look back and say, God, we did that, and look what you've done. What you've done, and I've been able to see the blessings of God in this church and in people's lives for this many years to see that take place. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And today you may be here no matter what the situation you find yourself, and you may be looking at a situation saying, God, this just doesn't make sense, and I don't see any way out of it. I may look at this and say, man, God, this is terrible. I don't see. Or God, you say I'm supposed to trust in you, but I don't see how this is going to work. I don't see. But I want to tell you this morning out of Joshua, out of the book of Joshua, that there's some things that, you know, on a human level, it just doesn't make sense. But man, God speaks to us in our need. And even this morning, you're not here by mistake. You're here by design. And that design may be for you to realize that, listen, there's nothing that God cannot do. And though it may not make sense to me, God, you're in control. You are in control. This world's not spinning out of control. And I got to give those things to you, those things in my life, whatever it may be. And so as we look at Joshua, I want you to realize first that God's plan is powerful. God's plan is powerful. You know, we often don't, I mean, we just say, well, no, duh. The problem isn't that we know God's, that his plan is powerful, but do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God is all powerful? In fact, in Joshua, as you come, you're going to find that Joshua, they would cross the Jordan. The next major issue is that they were going to take Jericho. Here's this fortified city. In fact, in some ways, they say the walls, there may have been two inner circles of the walls, one 12 feet wide, one 6 feet wide. They really don't know because it was destroyed. And as much as you want to try to rebuild it, what God says is destroyed, it's going to be destroyed. But here he's looking at Jericho. And in fact, he's looking probably in some sense, maybe he was thinking, I don't know, Joshua's probably a greater, much greater leader than I was. But you're going to see in just a moment in the verses that he was looking at these walls and he was walking around. He's probably, I wonder if he's saying, God, this is impossible. Oh, I'm waiting for you. God, this, how am I supposed to take this city? It's a fortified city. How are we supposed to take this place? He may have been feeling weak as a leader. God, why'd you put me here? Why am I here? Why couldn't you, man, couldn't you have somebody else do this? How am I, there's a great chance that I'm going to fail at taking this city. How am I going to do this? Or perhaps Joshua is saying, you know what, God, no problem here. I don't know what the plan is yet, but your plan is powerful. And I've seen you work. I was 40 years in the desert watching you work. And we came across the Jordan, and I watched that take place. So he may look back at his faith history. I don't know. I'd probably be, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know if I'd be saying, God, let's charge hell with a squirt gun, or if I'd be saying, God, you can't do this. Why am I here? I don't know where I'd be. Probably in and out of both at times. But in Joshua chapter 5, in verse 13, he says, Joshua was near Jericho. He looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, Jehovah, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And in that process, the Lord appears. And he questions, and Joshua asks the question, are you a friend or a foe? Are you an enemy? Are you with us? Who are you with? And he says, neither. I am the Lord. Now, place yourself there in your mind's eye. I mean, remember, he's supposed to take this city. There's a lot that's written here that we don't see. Joshua is out surveying the wall. Joshua is out surveying Jericho. I wonder what he was doing at that time, just walking around again saying, God, is it impossible? Or God, this is how you're going to get this? And he sees somebody, and there's a sword in his hand. And you wonder, what would you do if you're about to take a city and you see somebody coming at you and you see somebody there with a sword in your hand? Are you going to say, are you a friend or foe? Are you, okay, ready to fight or fly? Well, I wonder what Joshua's doing. And he asks a question in the middle of, as he's probably deep in thought, wondering how God's going to do this. And all of a sudden he says, man, this is the captain of the Lord God Jehovah. This is the Lord. He says, hey, listen, take off your sandals because the ground that you're standing on is holy. It was chosen by God. Not only was the ground holy because the Lord was there, but God had chosen that land for that people. Out of his own goodness, out of his own sovereignty, he said, this is going to be your land. You're going to take this land. This is the hallowed ground. And Joshua, showing his heart, knelt down and said, man, you speak. Your servants listen. I'm listening because I know whatever your plan is going to be powerful. He was chosen by God. He sought God's plan. He didn't argue with that angel of the Lord. Listen, we need to seek God's plan at times and not our selfish and not try to put ourselves into the plan of God. We try to control things saying, I think this is the way God should work. I think this is the way God should do it. I think, God, are you listening to me? This is the way it should happen. But I think we need to stop and say, God, really just listen. And survey and ponder and think and pray. And God, I need to know your will. I want to know your plan. Let me just tell you something. Part of God's will, obviously said, in fact, most of God's will is written in his word. He tells us what we're to do. But the greatest thing of God's word is he said, I desire that all men should come to repentance. That all men should know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And yet I think within that process, we need to understand that salvation is powerful. And I think sometimes we've forgotten the fact that salvation is a powerful experience, that he changes our heart, he changes our life. Do you live in the power of God? When you came to know Christ, was it just an attachment that you put on your file of your life and said, okay, now I got God, backpack theology, bam, here I am, I got Jesus. Or was he all-powerful, all-consuming, forgiving all of your past, forgiving all of your sin, making you right before God, seeing you as justified, holy, sanctified, setting you apart, saying, God, you changed my life. Now help me to live as if I've been changed. Help me to live as that adopted son who is changed. God's plan is powerful, and salvation is powerful. I mean, do you really believe in the power of God? Joshua had to sit there and really come to the part of saying, God, I'm going to believe in the plan. What do you want me to do? You tell me. I'm listening. I'm listening. I need something in my life. And there are people today who need a powerful experience with the Lord God Jehovah to come into their life and change their life, not just add on. And we have people every week who come to this church who are seeking and saying, okay, I'm not sure about this thing. I want to find out if it's really real. The reality is it's not just adding on. If you just try to add Jesus into your life, it means nothing. But if you allow Jesus to come and change your life, it means everything. And the problem is, I think, within the church worldwide, especially Western world, is that we have taken the teeth out of what salvation does for us and in us and to us. There's a minister, he's Episcopalian, and his name's Robert Capon, and he let me summarize what he says, but he wrote, the most critical issue facing Christians today is not abortion, pornography, the disintegration of the family, or moral absolutes. It's not MTV, drugs, racism, sexuality, or school prayer. The critical issue today, listen, I'm sure you're wondering, what would be greater than all those? The greatest issue today is dullness. The good news is no longer good news. It's just okay. And Christianity is no longer life-changing. It is life-enhancing. And we need to realize that God's plan for our life is powerful. And that plan starts when we come to know him as our Savior. When we come to the issue of really trusting in him. Not playing church, not playing religion. You know, people say, I'm just sick of organized religion. Well, so am I. I wish I had some more organization. I don't. But I mean, the religion and the ritual means nothing. It's a personal relationship with Christ. And for us today, Joshua came face to face with the captain of the Lord, Jehovah, within that process. And he said, I'm listening. And are we listening today to the plan of God? Because it's powerful. But not only is the power of God powerful, God's power is dependable. God's power is dependable. Chapter 6, verse 2. He says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. He outlines how he's going to do this. But he says, basically, I have given you this place. The battle's won. You may not see how it's going to be taking place yet. I haven't explained that. But the battle is already won. He says, I will never leave you. He says, to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, because the bottom line, the object of that is the Lord is near. The Lord is with you. Be anxious for nothing. It's not that we're out there saying, God, I can't be anxious because I'm not supposed to. No, he says, listen, I am with you. The Lord God is with us. When we come to know him, he places his spirit within us. We are never alone. And God's power is dependable. He changes our life. That's the importance of faith history, to look back. Are you developing that faith history where you've trusted in God and you've seen God move? No, I don't think we've seen the Jordan experiences in our life where, you know, all of a sudden the Jordan stops. But are there other areas in your life when you've trusted God and you've seen God faithfully move? Isn't it exciting when we had that perspective to watch God say, God, man, it made no sense. It made no sense. But look what's happened. I will tell you, about 20 years ago, a man murdered my nephew. It made no sense. None whatsoever. Until 20 years later. And I don't have the freedom nor the emotional stamina to tell you of that story. But I'm telling you, 20 years later, I look and I say, God, there's a plan. I didn't see it then. I haven't seen it to fulfillment. But I've seen you move to build that faith history. Because it may be 20 miles, it may be 20 years, but God has a plan. And his power is dependable. I can trust in God. I can see what's going to take place because God is dependable. The importance of knowing and trusting God's promises. Many of our life groups have finished or are not just finishing. The issue of promises of God. I had the great privilege of going to one of our, I don't know if the life group would share that, but one of our leaders, Doug, was out. I was able to fill into his life group, and I went in and taught. They were all on the same page, and I could just go in and teach that, and it was a great, it was about the promises of God, and what a joy. What a joy to know the promises and the promises that he hears our prayers and he's with us. My strength, he says, is made perfect in your weakness. I wonder if Joshua felt like, man, I can't do this. And the Lord said, you're right, you can't do this. There's some things we just can't do. But I can do it. Trust me. You're worried about the walls. The battle's already won. The battle's already won. Trust me. So God's plan is powerful. That power is dependable. But that dependence is built on faith. That dependence is built on faith. Chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. March, this is the instructions. Now listen, here's a fortified city. They figured that the wall was probably a little more than 3.5 acres around. March around the city once with all the armed men. What a battle plan. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. It must have been mostly women. Then the wall, I'm sorry, that was not even called for. Then the wall of the city will collapse. That was supposed to be a joke, okay? Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Dependence was built on faith. The plan, so much as it was, I don't hear Joshua arguing. I don't hear Joshua saying, well, how do we do this? How about a better way? He trusted and he moved. In fact, it goes on to say that he went right to the people and said, this is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do. He rehearsed that to the priest. This is what's going to take place. And it didn't make any human sense. And it definitely made no sense militarily to do it this way. But Hebrews 11:30 tells us what took the walls down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Because the issue is dependence was built on faith. Often we see how God moved makes no human sense. Isn't that great? Isn't that living in the wonder of going God, that dangerous wonder of seeing God move when it makes absolutely no sense? Man, I never saw this was coming. God, I never saw this happening. And look what it did when it makes no sense living in that wonder of knowing God. Every generation has sought and is seeking to diminish or deny the power of God or even the existence of God. I thought this is free. This doesn't cost you anything this morning. But as I was studying this issue, I started reading all of the reasons that some people will pontificate on how the walls came down. Now, I just read the verse out of Hebrews 11 as to why those walls came down. Because of their faith, God dropped the wall. But that's not the case, really. The real case is that there was an earthquake. And at that moment, the earthquake was localized, centered, right on Jericho. And it was so precise an earthquake, just a jolt, it dropped all the walls. Oh, except the house that Rahab was living in. And it didn't have any effect on those who were marching around the city. Okay? Oh, wait, maybe it was because there was a sonic. Do you realize that if you march on a bridge, everybody's marching, that the bridge will start to waver, I guess, and collapse? That's what happened at Jericho. Because they were marching around Jericho, and they all marched, and they got in the same cadence, left, right, and it was the seismic tilt of them walking, and it was a sandy loam soil, and it dropped the walls of Jericho. Oh, wait, Rahab's house was spared. I don't understand that for sure. Ah, but the greatest one, I think this is probably what it was more than anything else, is it was a sinkhole. You know how sinkholes happen? Just sinkhole. Bam, there it was. That's how these walls got. They just sunk. Every generation seeks to deny the power of God. We're coming up on Easter after Christmas, not too long, even the virgin birth through Christmas. All the theories, oh, Christ really wasn't dead, it's the swoon theory. Or he was stolen, or he was, you know, he was beaten, but he didn't die, he just came to life afterwards. And they seek to deny the existence and the power of God. Many of you know that even in my own view here, I believe that much of our teaching of evolution, and I know that there's those in our church who disagree with me on this. I believe, as God's word says, that God created, period. All right? Now listen, there's great people who disagree with me. But I believe the heart of evolutionary teaching is not about the origin of man. The heart of the evolutionary teaching is the disallowance of God, that we don't need a God. We try to reason away, we don't need a God, therefore we are our own God. God's not necessary in the big picture. Dependence is built on faith. And walking by faith, as Joshua did, was listening to God, considering God in everything, and following God. God lead, I will follow. So we have God's plan is powerful, and that power is dependable, and that dependence is built on faith. And when we have a dependence built on faith, faith will sustain you. Faith sustains. You say, well, how do you see that? He said, well, we're going to do this for 7 days. We're going to walk around that city 7 days. All these people walking around that city for 7 days. I wonder if some were just the negative, you know, whiner, negative Nelly. Are you kidding me? I got to walk around this place again? Can't we let somebody else go on our... Why don't you just send a representative from each tribe? Can't we just do this? You know, I just got my feet clean. Now we're going to walk around in the dust, all the sandy... You know, just... Come on. For 7 days, they walked around doing exactly what God told them to do. It wasn't any kind of spectacular battle plan. They weren't storming the gates. They just followed God. And their faith sustained them. As in Hebrews said, it was faith that dropped the walls of Jericho, because those people did what God asked them to do. I wonder if they said, why doesn't God just flatten it while we're eating s'mores around the campfire? You know, I mean, it's just right. I just got it just right, and we're supposed to go walk around the city again. Faith in God's plan and faith in God's trust, and trust in Him builds our endurance. It endures. Don't give up today. Please. Never give up on God's ability to change your life. Not just in salvation, but the walls of your life that you're looking at that may say, they just are huge, I'll never get over them. Never give up. Trust God. When the battle seems unwinnable, when the sin seems to have control, trust. Follow. Seek God. The people of Israel obviously had success. The walls came tumbling down. But this morning, through the life of Joshua and the battle of Jericho, success is not following a great plan. That's not what success is. Success is following a great God. That's success. And in the world's eyes, when we go to significance thinking, if I can do this, if I can make this, if I can be the best at this, if I can make this in the bank, or if I can have this kind of promotion, or if I can have this kind of power, I'll be success. God says success isn't all of any of those things. Success is following, being faithful to me. What's our plan? What's our vision? As I saw that I started this series, you know, the issue of vision is, just follow God. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I didn't see how God was going to arrange to pay for the sound in the new church that we're birthing. I didn't see 20 years ago how it made any sense that my nephew was murdered. I don't know the plan. But I know we can all say, God, I just want to follow you. Our Tracy campus, our Lathrop campus, oh, we can make the plans. We can write it down. We've got our list. But a plan doesn't build the church. It never has, and it never will. Somebody needs to write the book that says, forget the plans and follow God. Because it's very clear, unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. We, His people, follow Him. And when we, as God's people, follow Him individually, in the process of our growth individually and personally, He builds the body of Christ. It is the natural outflow. Our church has grown. Our church has really been thriving, not because of my plan. I don't have one. Not because of some great leadership. I'm not the great leader. This church has thrived because through life groups and through the study of God's Word and the challenge of God's Word, you, His people, are growing. And as you, His people, grow, the natural outflow of that is to let others know, and our church has grown. And that's why. And that's why Tracy campus will grow and Lathrop campus will continue to grow. This morning, what is the wall you're facing today? Man, what is the wall you just can't see over? What is the wall that maybe has followed you from your past, and every time you think you're going to get around it, somehow that wall moves to being right in your future again? Seek God, follow by faith, and never give up. If you're following a great God, building that faith history, enduring for Him, that is success. The success wasn't because the walls came tumbling down. The success was following the Lord. And that ought to be our prayer today. God, you lead all. I will follow you. That's what we say. I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. I will follow you. I don't know this morning what the walls of your life may be that are keeping you and that are barriers and just obstacles you just think I'll never get over. See them in the priority that God would have and the perspective. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, that's where it begins. God's plan for your life is powerful, but it begins with a personal relationship with Him, changing your life. Let's pray. Father, this morning I am thankful that your plan is powerful, that your power is dependable, that our dependence must be built on faith, and that faith sustains us. Thank you for the lives represented in this church and the lives that are changing. I pray for this body this morning. I know that there are those here. I know my own life. That sometimes they're just seemingly a barrier, a wall that, God, will we ever get over? And in our strength, we never will get over it. It needs to be defeated by you. It needs to come tumbling down when we realize who you are and what you've done. May we understand your power today. May we never give up. May we trust in the life that you've given us, that you've made us new.
We pray for blessings.
That we have your spirit in us.
We pray for peace.
And in our weakness, you're made strong. God, I pray that as we move from this day forward, as we look into the future, God, we don't know every step.
Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep.
That our resources will not determine our vision.
We pray for healing.
Allow us to know what resources must be supplied.
For prosperity.
Thank you for this day.
We pray for your mighty
sons, and we pray. Amen.